Okay, so we're going to continue where we were. But I want to mention that all the classes we've had so far are sequential, and they're going to carry on that way as well. Meaning that you're not going to be able to look at part of this course, miss a few classes, and figure out what's going on later. They're all connected. As we started in the first class, we're following one circle that began with Adam Rishon. It's going to end with Olam Haba, which is going back to Adam Rishon. So everything we're saying and everything we're going to do is building up a pattern. So a lot of things may not make sense as we do them at the time, but you'll see that we're following a path from the beginning of Jewish history, philosophically speaking, not historically speaking, right to the end of Jewish history, philosophically speaking, right until the end. Okay, so we started with creation. We started, if you remember, with Adam HaRishon. We spoke about the struggle, the milchama between Adam of his Yetzara, Yetzer Tov, the guf, and the neshama we spoke about. We spoke about the sin of Adam HaRishon and how that brought death into the world and how death was a necessary component to fix up the mistake of Adam HaRishon. That's what it caused. Then we said, okay, let's talk about the body a little bit. So we spoke a little bit about the body of a person as the kli, as the vessel by which it performs things in this world. Which takes us to the other side. We're on page 7, which is the description of the soul. Let us begin with a Gemara on page 7. And let's try to figure out what the Gemara is saying and what it's got to do with our course. So the Gemara is from the Tractate of Brachot, page Yud Aleph, 10a. And the Gemara says the following. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu, Male Kol HaOlam, just as God fills the entire world. Books out, please. Have you know the book?
No, because I didn't officially join it.
Ah, okay. So I'm going to lend you one so you actually know what's going on.
Okay.
I never knew this many people were obsessed with Neshamah and Mashiach and reincarnation or whatever this course.
No,
I have no idea. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maleh Kol Alam, just as God fills the entire world, Af Neshamah Maleh Kol HaGuf, so too the soul fills the entire body. Okay, so let's go through this together. Let's break this down. So now we're making comparison, this is what the Gemara seems to be doing, between God, Hashem, and the neshama of a person. Okay. Why do we make such a comparison? Where does the neshama come from? What do we say? What did the Ramchal say? From the upper spheres, from the spiritual world. So the Gemara is saying, well, if the neshama came from Hashem, came from God, from the spiritual world, we're going to find some comparison between them, and it lists a bunch of them. Number one, Hashem fills the world, so too neshama fills body. We'll see different parts of the neshama and different parts of the body a little later. But that's the statement. Number two, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Roeh Ve'enu Nira, just as Hashem sees but cannot be seen, so too the neshama sees but cannot be seen. So we'll just do the on the board over here, the beep 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 beep. Alright, fantastic. Number three, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Zan et Kol HaOlam, God Hashem nourishes the entire world. Probably the best translation I can find. Nourishes the world, i.e. without God there is no world. Af neshama zana et kol haguf. So too, the neshama keeps the body alive. It nourishes, gives nourishment to the entire body. No neshama, the body is a lifeless mass of meat. Okay? And number four. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tahor, Af neshama Tahara. Both are pure. Spoke of that already. He said that the guf, the body, the yetzara, the guf which stems from the body, those desires, have impurity, but the soul ultimately is a pure thing. Can it become besmirched? Can it become made not so pure? Yes. Right? Just like a diamond can be covered in filth, so too a neshama can be sullied. Good word that. S-U-L-L-I-E-D, I think. Right? However, it can be cleansed. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming up. Yes, Rachel?
Sorry, the third one down. What's the second word in?
Nourishes.
Just, okay, sorry.
That's my doctor handwriting. Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev. Just as Hashem sits b'chadri chadorim in the chambers, after Neshama Yoshevus b'chadri chadorim, so too the soul dwells in inner chambers. Hashem, as it were, is hidden away from us. Hashem is hidden away. We don't have access constantly. It takes work, it takes effort. So too the soul is also hidden away in hidden inner chambers. Maybe these chambers are referring to parts of the body as well. Says the Gemara, Yavo, mi sheyesh bo chamisha devarim halu. Let the person who has these five things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, halalu, yishabach lemi sheyesh bo chamisha devarim halu, come and praise the one that has these five. So the neshama is being told, you have these five, this connects you, and therefore you have to give praise and thanks to the one who has these as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any thoughts on this Gemara? What is going on over here? Difficult to understand. Difficult ones on the surface. Like, okay, I get it. But anything over here? Yes, Rachel.
Is this, you know how there's like a small part of the Shemina?
Yes. Is
it?
Yes. Absolutely. There's a small part of Hashem in every human, actually. Every single human has an element of this aspect of godliness inside them. Right? We spoke from the Ramchal, that Hashem blew a breath of life into Adam HaRishon. That means that there's a part of Hashem inside every individual. Not even a Jewish thing, but it's definitely a human thing. Okay? Any other thoughts, comments? Yes, Hannah.
Yeah, I feel like each similarity is like a little bit vague. Like, okay. The word like pure, like that can mean so many different things.
It can.
Or the word like gives nourishment. What is giving nourishment to the world versus nourishment to the body? What does that mean?
So one thing we can figure out from this is a good question. I'm not sure I have the answers. But one thing that we seem to be comparing is that God relates to the world the same way and the Shama relates to the body. So the body that we have is a mini world. Is that a fair statement to make? Can we just get out of it? The body that we have is like a miniature world. Hashem operates in this big universe, but the kli, the vessel, the world that our individual personal neshama lives in is the body. So the body becomes our universe. Now, that means when we manifest ourselves in this outside world, we're going to use the body to do that. The body is going to be very, very important because we're going to discuss mitzvahs soon, and we're going to notice that all the mitzvahs except for six of them involve action with the body. That's only going to make real sense when we understand this idea that the body becomes the manifest expression of the soul. This idea is going to be pervasive in Jewish thought to such a degree that biblically people will come up with physical ailments from the neshama. They manifest itself physically. Now, we have this actually today, the idea of psychologically, we have this like holistically, your body is going to react to certain things, right? You get stressed out. It's not a physical thing, but it's going to end up affecting your body as well. We get these ideas now in our, modern science, corroborates this idea that the psyche of a person, the mind of a person affects the body, right? You get sick when you feel a certain way. Right, psychologically or emotionally or spiritually. This idea is, I guess, the precursor to that, or the essence of it, if you will, that our body is a manifestation of our soul. And when we want to interact with the world, how does our soul interact with the world? Through our body. It doesn't leave our body, end up doing stuff and then coming back. Right? The body itself, our actions we're going to see, are going to be influenced by our thoughts, and our thoughts, this is the big chiddush, is going to be influenced by our body. It's a very famous statement by the Sefer Chinuch that Adam nifal kafi pu'latav, that a person is influenced by their actions. Your actions are representative of your soul, and your actions, what you do, what you say, which is actually a chiddush, that even speech comes under this, what you do with your hands and your feet and how you act with other people and what you eat. We're going to spend one or two classes on just the idea of kosher. What you do with your body is affecting your neshama, because the two are related. The two work together. Just as Hashem relates to the world, so too our souls relate through our bodies. Yes?
Are you using thoughts and neshama interchangeably?
Right now we're going to discuss that exact question, Monique. How our thoughts represent our neshama. And the answer is going to be a part of it, yes. Let's do that together. Everyone write this down? Have this down? Fantastic. So let's do some basic Kabbalah, I guess. But this is mainstream Jewish thought as well. As we're going to see, it's all mentioned in Tanakh. Proof of it. We refer to the soul as the neshama. But actually, the neshama is one of five different, now we say levels of the soul, but we'll go with the levels thing, I guess. I usually, when I wrote this down, I call it like, you know those Russian doll things? You know what I'm talking about, the Russian dolls that you put one inside the other, but the other, like that? So I think that's a better interpretation. Although, as I like to say, I don't like those Russian dolls, they're so full of themselves. That's a great joke. No, that was a great joke, Rachel. That was great. If Marjorie laughed at it, it must have been fantastic. Even the Brazilian gets it, you know what I'm saying? Fantastic. Okay, so that's maybe one encapsulates the other. Now, we're going to divide it up into five. It's not my division. We'll see from Chazal. And it's based upon verses of the Torah and Tanakh that do it for us. But each one of these is the life force that makes up the human, the person. Okay? Now, we're also going to divide it up into two other sections, which is 3 and 2. 3 and 2 is going to be the ultimate division over here. Okay? So we'll start over here at the low. So you go from the bottom up. From the bottom up. And those who study Kabbalah, or those people who are into Hasidus, it's like 101. That's all they study, really. This is the whole thing, you know? So what's the lowest level? Anybody? Lowest level of the soul is the nefesh. Nefesh. Now, the nefesh represents the physical, right? In the Torah, it's actually referred to as the nefesh bahamit, the animal soul. And it's called that because animals have that soul. Animals do have that level of the soul. However, that is the highest that the animal goes, as we'll see. The animal does not get to go any higher than that, which is why animals do not have free will. They do not have bechira. And that's why they do not go to Gan Eden or Olam Haba, because they don't have free will decisions to make right or wrong decisions, which qualifies them for Olam Haba. We humans do. But we share this with animals, the physical drive. The drive to eat. We eat, animals eat. The drive to sleep. We sleep, animals sleep. The drive to be intimate. We have that. Animals have that. All comes to that same drive. Yes?
So what do you call training them from right and wrong if it's not...
That's just instinct. That's just instinct. You say, this is that, this we don't do, but that's not the essence of what the animal is.
Like they're scared. They won't do
right. That's it. They just stay away from death or punishment. Okay? But we have that in common as well. That's a level. It's a level. But it's a nefesh level. Okay? That's the animal soul. And that, according to the rabbis, is located where in the blood. It's in the blood of a person. Or it's maybe the blood of an animal. Right? It's constantly moving. It's the blood. Whatever that means, it's found in the dam. In the dam. Alright? Which is one of the reasons that it is a Torah prohibition from drinking blood of an animal. That is a Torah prohibition. Blood of human is the Rabbanon, actually. Can't do that. Actually, if you have blood on your fingers, then you shouldn't suck it off, actually. It's still in your mouth. But you can, but you can't spit it out and put it back in again. Probably
yeah,
you're planning on doing that. But this is related to this reason that it's the nefesh. That's why we salt meat to remove the blood of the animal. Right? We salt it, wash it, and it's salted in order to draw the blood out. The blood is poured away in an animal, and the animal is salted to draw it out because we do not drink the blood of it. Okay, fine. What comes after the nefesh? The ruach. Now the word ruach actually literally means the wind, but we'll call it the spirit, I guess. I don't know. I mean, any English translation you give these words, which I've done in the book for you and the rabbis have done, it never really lives up for it. Okay? Yes. Yes, 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 you have to know the Hebrew. Absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. Right, that's the ruach. Just look inside the book, just see the sources are coming. It actually comes from Bereishis. The animal soul is mentioned over there. Okay, page 7, B. Vayomer Elokim, Vayishutsu Amayim, and God said, the water swarm, Sheretz Nefesh Chaya, the Nefesh of the Chaya, the swarming of living creatures, Va'of Yofef Al Aretz, and the fowl, the birdie things, over the land, Al Pnei Rakia Shemayim, over the expanse of the heaven. And soon after, in verse 24, chapter 1 of Bereishis, Genesis, Vayomer Elokim, Totse Ha'aretz, Nefesh chay lemina, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Behema, v'remes, v'chayeto eres, lemina, v'yichein. And it was so, the beasts of the earth. So we see the animals are referred to as nefesh. And then later on, it says, v'yitzer Hashem Elokim et ha'adam, afar min adama, v'yipach b'afar nishmat chayim, v'yadam lenefesh chaya. So there's this nefesh appears again by animals and by humans. So we have this shared commonality between them. Okay, turn over the page, please. So that's the Midrash, and the Midrash says, Chamisha Shemos Nikru. So we have the Nefesh, we have the Ruach. Okay, that's the Spirit. What comes after this? The Neshama. So the Neshama is one of the five levels, but it's also a level in and of itself. Also one of the levels in of itself. Why do we refer, that's the, I guess, the soul, I guess, is the best way, but why do we refer, if there's five different levels we're going to see, why do we pick on this one? Why do we pick on the neshama to be the reference word for all of them? By the way, this is my own idea that I'll share with you, but I'll take an answer. We're going to refer to all the aspect levels of the soul as the neshama. See? Yeah? So this is the moach, okay, fine. So what?
So the brain controls everything.
So the brain is the highest part of a person. That's why it's physically located at the top. Yeah? But also, the shema is the highest level of the soul in a person's body. So we're going to draw... Oh, it's better for you, okay? We're going to draw a line over here. And there's going to be two over here that... Not being a Kabbalist myself, unfortunately, but I'll be charging this college a lot more for my teachings, operate in the higher worlds. Okay? They operate in the higher world. So these three together, in combination, spell Naran. I know it's Naran. A lot of the writing, Naran, refers to Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. So the Neshama is the main aspect. It's what defines a person. We have this in common with animals. The neshama is the purely human aspect of the soul. This is the part that wants to do good stuff. This is the part that wants to be on time for class, wants to learn Torah, wants to experience beautiful things, but it's fighting the nefesh the entire time. Right? There's an inner battle happening between these two. The result comes out in the ruach. Ruach means wind, right? The spirit. This is the actions that come out from this. Some say this is the heart. That. Some say it's the kidneys. The physicality that comes out through that. But the neshama is considered to be the brain. So Monique, this answers your earlier question, where it's located. So the neshama is located in all three. See something fascinating. So the neshama actually is the interposition between the lower levels and the higher levels. Right? This is the down, this is located in the body, and these two, we'll see in a moment, are located higher up, in the higher realm. Okay? So here's something interesting. You're going to take these letters and rearrange them. If you rearrange these letters, it should represent things that are also representative of the interposition that between the lower and the higher. Some blank looks over there. You don't follow what I'm saying? If this part of the soul represents the connection between these levels, the two higher levels, right? The Chayim Yechida, therefore this is just the level between the physical and the spiritual world. It's just on the edge between both of them. So if I take this letter, I should be able to rearrange it and see other aspects of it, I assume, or possibly. So let's do that. You arrange this, you get Shemona. Shemona? Eight. So we'll see later on, eight represents the miraculous. It's Lamala Manateva. Seven is this world, or the coming together of this world, actually. And eight is Lamala Manateva, right? It's always the eight is always the miraculous, above nature. Like Chanukah is 8 days. Babes given a bris milah on the eighth day. Eight is always that which is above. So that's Shemona. What else you get? You get Mishnah. Mishnah is the first time the oral Torah. That is the Torah that could be written. It was only spoken, so it's just... It's put over there. Okay? You also get... Shana, Shmona, Mishnah, and Hashemen, the oil. Right? That's a Chanukah Tzvah Torah. Chanukah, the oil represents interposition of the wick and the flame. It's the coming together of those 2 points. It comes through the Hashem and the Sun. Okay? Hashem and the oil. I'm not going to test you on that. It's just interesting, just to show how it works. Okay? And then you get the Achaya. Just somewhere up there. I don't know what's going on with that. Up in the spiritual realm. They have to go to the Kabbalist works, but this is connected. So it's all one chain called Shalshalas. Chain. It all connects. What you do over here, you pull down here by doing actions with your body, ends up affecting your neshama and shemayim, the heavenly part. That's how it breaks it down. Okay? So we'll see that what we're doing affects all levels. There is an idea that a person gets chas v'shalom karet. Karet is a specific spiritual cutting off, spiritual excision for doing certain sins. I think we mentioned them for eating Yom Kippur. The person gets karet, I think, for eating chametz on Pesach, for sleeping with a nidah, right? All these things are that. So they say, I mean, sometimes actually you're cutting off yourself from the lower, it's being cut off from the higher. But that's reattachable, because you can do tshuva, which makes sense. Only Hashem can reattach you. A bet din, a court of law cannot do that. They can reconnect you. By the way, this is the faculty of speech. Actually, it's over here. Speech. The ruach. That's just wind, right? Because when you speak, you're just producing wind through your mouth. That's going to be part of that. It's like neither physical nor... So speech happens to be neither completely... We did this in class last semester, right? Yeah. Neither completely physical or spiritual, considered to be the interposition between those two, right? Remember that? Yeah. Which one?
The top two.
Oh, I got no clue. That's out of my pay scale. That's God's oneness. It's all. That's already like some lofty Kabbalistic idea. This is just. Yeah, just know those are the levels. And right. Let's have a look at some of the Torah sources to back up this midrash. We'll see on page 8, note 3. Kitave nafshecha lechol basar v'chol av nafshecha tochol basar. Your nefesh desires meat. It's the nefesh of a person. Right? The neshama doesn't desire meat. Right? The neshama desires spiritual things, but it's the nefesh that does that. It says, Iov, v'zehmatu nafsho machaltava, is nefesh. Job says, shall abhor food. So the ruach is the source of anger and emotion. Right? It comes out through speech. Al tavahel barucha lichos, don't let your ruach become angry. Says Shlom Melech in Koheles, and in Mishlei call Rucha Yosel Kisil, or full vents the Ruach. So the Ruach is the emotions. That's a better word. Right, over here are your emotions, which manifest through speech, obviously. It's all the emotions of a person, how the battle manifests itself, right, through your midot. And then Eov says in 32:8, the nishmat shakai tivineim, the neshama of God gives men understanding. Okay. Okay. And the nafshi yechida is in Tehillim, ki radaf oyev nafshi, the coloras hayati, the hayana, haya represents God's oneness, right? God's life and the ultimate oneness of a person's soul. Various sources for that. All right. So let's recap what we're up to, because we're going to move on right now. Something related but different. Yes?
So what part of our soul is...
Very good. So the Gemara says that when a person sleeps, and the holy books talk about this, a part of your soul ascends... The neshama aspect goes up, is judged in Shemayim during sleep. Sleep, as we'll see later on in this course, actually not too much later on actually, is a 60th of death. But dreams are a 60th of prophecy, right? Because the soul is not constantly located. Through sleep we can access higher worlds. That's what they say. Nefesh remains, and the neshama. Neshama goes up to Shemayim, yes. And is judged every night. What? I don't think so, just the neshama. Okay, or a person won't be alive anymore. Okay, so let's just recap. Are we all together with me still? Okay, so let's recap. Let's pull this together. We spoke about this battle that's going on. We spoke about the body and soul. We spoke about how the neshama is compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are five similarities between them. Then we spoke about how the different parts of the neshama and the different urges, desires that they are there to. And we said that the neshama is a... the body becomes a manifestation for this world. Okay. That's going to take us to the next part, which is on page 10. And it goes like this. If what we are saying is true, and every action we do with our bodies ends up being a manifestation or a way of affecting the neshama, as we already said today, therefore it would make sense that God would give us directives to do with our body that will impact our soul effectively. And God would also tell us things to do with our body to distance us from affecting our souls negatively. Is that fair? So, there's got to, either we've got no idea, right? My soul can't be seen. I can't relate to it on a direct physical level. I can't understand. I don't know how my soul works and how my body works. That's a whole chokhmah, wisdom in and of itself. So how do I know? So that's the idea of mitzvah. The idea of mitzvah isn't, as a five-year-old is told, right? Be a good girl. Be a good boy, listen to him and Abba, go with Abba a cup of water, scratch Abba's back. These are mitzvahs as well, by the way, I'll just mention to you. But they're a lot more depth. What is the mechanism behind the mitzvah? So the word mitzvah is related to an Aramaic word. The word mitzvah is related to an Aramaic word. And that word, well, the word mitzvah in Peshat is a commandment, right? It's an obligation. But it's a spiritual obligation. Yeah? But there's an Aramaic word which is very much related to it, which is tzavta. Not tzavta, your grandmother, but tzavta. Tzadi vav vav taf aleph. And that word means a connection or a binding. Things are bound together. Why would the word mitzvah be related to the word tzavta? A binding. Yes. Yeah.
I guess because when we do mitzvah, we are connecting ourselves to Hashem.
So one that's going to be, when you do a mitzvah, you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is God's command to us. There's already a connection with the body, the soul rather, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're connecting yourself to Hashem. That would be one obvious. Yes?
When you do mitzvah, you're using your body, so you're connecting your body to your soul.
Absolutely. You're connecting your body, right, to your soul. Now, your soul is part of Hashem anyway. So that's number one as well. But in and of itself, right, you're binding them together. You're making them work together. They are working in tandem. They're working in tandem. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm just thinking now, maybe you can say that you're connecting to yourself. Your higher you and your lower you. You're connecting those different elements of your neshama. You have the nefesh, ruach, neshama, connecting to your chayim and nechina. How do you connect to your true spiritual self, those two that are held up in Shemayim and not located inside the body? That's through mitzvah. Mitzvah connects. It brings together. Now, it gets interesting. Because Marjorie has a neshama. And I have a neshama. And Hashem, as it were, kibichol, has a neshama. So maybe I'm not only connecting to Hashem, I'm also connecting to another neshama. Now we know that mitzvahs, we're going to divide them up in various ways. But one of the most famous ways is Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Remember this? From Yeshiva? I hope. Bein Adam L'Makom. What's Makom?
Hashem.
What does the word Makom literally mean?
Place.
Because Hashem is every place and not held within it. Hashem represents every place. So that's Bein Asan Hashem. And Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Between us and each other. So maybe when I'm involved in these mitzvahs, of which there are how many? Oh, sorry, I'm not sure about that. No, I'm thinking about something else. I'm so sorry, excuse me. I'm thinking of in the Aseret HaDibrot. Right? We have the 10 statements, we have two blocks, and we have five between us and Hashem, and we have five between us and each other. These 10 represent all the other mitzvahs. These 10 are part of the 613 mitzvahs. So therefore, when I'm involved in these, I'm affecting these. And when I do follow those, I'm affecting those, and vice versa. Okay? So when I do these mitzvahs, I connect to Hashem. But when I do Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, my neshama connects to Marjorie's neshama, because I'm helping her by teaching her Torah, or holding the elevator open for her, or saying nice things to her, or take Vitek for Shabbos, whatever it's going to be. We've done all of them. Right? So when I do these, what's happening is my neshama connects to her. Kol Yisroel Rebbe Zeh V'Zeh. Our souls are connected, not our bodies. Our souls connect. So mitzvah allows us to connect to others as well. Mitzvah is not a good deed. Actually, some mitzvahs may seem like good deeds and some don't. Which takes us to our next question. And those who've done introductory class with me have done this before. I apologize, but it's worth hearing again. We have how many mitzvahs? 613. Tarry up, right? 613. Now, how are they divided up? What's another famous division? Mrs. Arse, Mrs. Lo Sarse. Mrs. Arse are the positive mitzvahs. Which are the how many? You got to know this. No. How many positive mitzvahs? 248 is correct. Yes. And how many negatives? 365. Okay. Which adds up 2365 plus 248, carry the 5. That's right, 613. Very good. Not just an a cappella band. Okay. Now there's another thing the rabbis connect to these two elements. What are they? What are given in these numbers? These numbers are also, we'll see this inside in a moment. I hope. Oh dear. I hope so. If not, I'll do it anyway. We have 248 limbs. These are referred to as ramach. Ramach is not a word. Right? It's referring to 248. And shasa. That's how they're referred to. Okay? Right? 248, 365. But we're also known to have 248 limbs in our body and 365 sinews, right? Those connecting parts, whatever they are. Some anatomical part of our body. So when you do these 248, you're affecting this. And when you do these 265, you're affecting this. So it ends up being, connect to what we said already, that each mitzvah is going to come along now and is going to end up affecting the body. And how do you access the soul? Through your actions. So there's this double relationship that somehow we end up affecting, and if you remember the Ramchal, this inclusive aspect, the Ramchal says that through the mitzvahs we even lift up the body. This is how it works. How do we lift up? How do we elevate the neshama? Through the body. The body is the ability, we said, through the right action, to lift up the neshama. And also has the ability to create the neshama. Why can it be two separate things? They're two completely different realities. But they are connected. They are tzavta. Mitzvah connects them. So by doing the right asay, same as the low asay, we are actually affecting the 613, the neshama as well. Because your neshama is divided up, says the Chofetz Chaim, into 613 parts as well. Whatever that means. So there's a mitzvah every part of your body. I don't know the relationship. I mean, you hear stories from great Kabbalists and great wise people of do a particular mitzvah to fix that part of your body. Tillis Yadayim does this and does that. I don't know. You hear these things. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. That I can't prove to you. But what we do know for sure is that there is a connection, an inherent connection between the body and soul, so much so that the body divides up 613 and so does the neshama. They are reflective one of the other. That's the Chofetz Chaim, which I was meant to bring down, and maybe I did. I don't remember. Yes. Is this making sense, by the way? Are you seeing like a connection here you haven't seen before? You're seeing how there's layers to this, yeah? Yeah.
Going back to that over there with Sasha.
Yeah.
Can you explain number three.
So this is my thought. So we have different parts to our neshama, five different levels of the soul. That's what the Midrash speaks about. So it could be the lower three are encapsulated in the body, different parts of the body. We said the two are somewhere up there, but they're connected to us. There's like a chain that that connects us. So I said maybe by doing mitzvahs with our body, which is these bottom three, we're connected to the higher level of our own souls. You're connected to yourself. That's what connected to yourself means, you know? Like I say, you be yourself. No, I am myself. No, there's a real you. There's a spiritual you. We see this, by the way, in the Torah. We see people who are compared to their ultimate potential. The potential, the real true potential of their own souls. What's teshuvah? Teshuvah is to repent. So part of one idea of repentance is you go back to yourself. Who's myself? Now your essence, your pure soul that you are. That's your return to yourself. You're going back to your original pure soul before it was put into this physical body. By the way, as a side point, does your body and soul, I'll say it better, does your soul want to enter the body or not? Do you think that while the soul is up there in the spiritual realm, it wants to enter into the body? You can argue it both ways. Could you please? Could you argue it both ways, please? Yes?
Yes.
Give me the yes. Why yes?
Because that would give me the opportunity.
I can't grow, right? Just a soul, nothing gets done. I need to have the goof to lift it up. So you would say the soul needs the body. That would be the ultimate thing. That would be the ultimate yes to that question. Without a body, I can't achieve. I can't do mitzvah, because mitzvah involves action. Without that, I can do nothing. Give me the no.
It's downgrade.
It's a downgrade. We choose on the down. I want to upgrade. All right, I got to finish my car lease. I want to upgrade.
Already up, so why is it going to come down here? It's into a physical
right.
Bad world where it's...
So that would be the opposite. Why would the pure, beautiful soul end up being put into this physical body with all the problems that carries its own feces, this physical chomer reality, when there it is in the spiritual world floating around, whatever it does over there, I don't know, floats around and drinks pina coladas, whatever, it's having a good time, you know? You know what my soul's doing up in Shemayim, right? Right, that's what we're looking at. So, happens to be the Pirkei Avot gives us the answer to this question. Does anyone know the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which you're all going to look up and learn? Can you be tested on it? That discusses this. Oh God, is it? No, it's not. Yes, it's not over here, though. It's not.
Nope, no idea.
I don't know the Mishnah from Pirkei Avot, that answers this question. Does the soul want to enter the body? Yes.
Isn't
That's a goodie, but it's not that one. Al korchachata notzar. Al korchachata nolad. Against your will, you're formed. By the way, my yeshiva has memorized Pirkei Avos. It was many years ago, but I try to keep it. By the way, memorizing Pirkei Avos is the best thing. You have the Dvar Torah for every situation. And it's always a Dvar, I think, very serious. Memorizing it, it's a good thing to do anyway, but we've got competitions in yeshiva. The kids in my yeshiva can memorize all 6 chapters like that. I got the first 3, I think. You got a shas if you did it, by the way. We gave you a tractate. My Rosh Hashiva gave a tractate of the entire Talmud to the boys who could memorize all of Pirkei Avos. Yeah. Okay. According to you, against your will, you are formed. Against your will, you are atar nolad. Against your will, akachanocha atar. Oh my God. Atanocha atar nosar, akanolad. Atanocha atar. Against your will, I think, atachai, you live. Made, and against your will you die. The against your will you have to give judgment before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a Mishnah somewhere in Pirkei Avot. Against your will you're formed, against your will you're born, against your will you live, against your will you die, and against your will you have to give a full din judgment. So that's a summary of this entire course, by the way. Right, you have to give a full din, a full judgment before God, the King of Kings, when your soul leaves the body. So actually, you'd rather not. And the Gemara even discusses this idea and says that, is it better that mankind be created or not? Is it better to have mankind to have been created or not? And the Gemara ends with an answer and says, better not. With all the trouble that's with this world, all the challenges that comes with Olam Hazeh, better that man not be created. That's actually the statement of the Gemara. When they discussed it. Okay, I want to stop questions for a minute because I want to just get through this next piece because I want to get as far as possible. We're a drop behind. Okay, go inside your books again. Well, that is a background to what we're saying. There's another aspect to this neshama thing. See, if the neshama is compared to God, which we just saw in that Gemara, you're going to have to say that there's a mechanism by which we can be like God. Right? We emulate the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But Selam Elokim, we're creating the image of Hashem. That's not the physical image, heaven forbid. That is the spiritual image. And that's not our bodies, or that's our souls. Although, there are some deep Kabbalistic writers, which I've read over the years, who do say that the physical representation of a... Ready for this? This is going to blow your minds. If what we're saying is true, and one is an imprint of the other, and one is contained with the other, then the body itself is the physical imprint of the soul. In other words, and they write about this, they say that the hand that you have is a physical representation of a spiritual hand that you have as well. Right? You have a soul, which is 613 parts. So that means if you look at your hand, so we think many times in the Torah, God has given anthropomorphic. That's a fancy way of saying we refer to God in human terms. The hand of God, the eye of God, right? The nose of God, the foot of God. So the Rambam, another say, it just means that, you know, God is eye. God's eye means God sees everything. Right? God's hand, God has the power. Right? Zeroash, God has the power to do things. Because the hands are the leg of God. God is able to... Some say, no, it just means that Hashem has a leg. It's not physical, heaven forbid. It's spiritual in nature. If it was physical, this is what it looked like. It's the other way around. Did you get that? You have a spiritual hand. What does it look like? It looks like this. In essence, it's spiritual. It just has to take physical form. The physical form of a hand is this. They even say... I can't write this on the board, but if you can picture in your mind, you have God's name is the Yud, with the He, and the Vav, and the He. That's the name of God, that's so holy we don't even say it. But if you do those letters in form, from top down to bottom, the Yud is the head, the He are the arms, the Vav is the Shidras, the spine, and the bottom He are the legs. Right? You can actually see the form of a person through a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's very deep. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you what they say. But on a basic level, which is for the rest of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to emulate, through our neshamas, to emulate Hashem. We can be like God. How does that happen? Let's have a look in Bereishis and let's see the commentators. God created mankind in the image He created them, the spiritual image. What I told you about the physical image is Kabbalah, it's other stuff. But there's a spiritual image, okay? Just as Hashem is free will, we have free will, right? Our souls are as of Hashem. And then it says in Devarim, Deuteronomy 28:9, Chav Ches Tes, V'halachta bidrachav. You shall walk in God's ways. What does that mean, walk in God's ways? I gotta wear his shoes, I have to find out where God walks. God doesn't physically walk anywhere. It means that God's actions, we emulate as well. We have to be like Hashem. So what does that mean? So the Gemara comes to help us. And the Gemara says, in Talmud Yerushalmi, in Peah, Mau rachum v'chanun, afatate rachum chanun. God is merciful and kind. God gives us life, creates us, takes care of us, gives us what we need in this world. So too, we have to emulate Hashem. Our actions, which we do with our bodies, emulates the Kodesh Baruch Hu's actions. That's how we emulate Hashem. Be like God. How? God's nice, we're nice. God cares, we care. God does good, we do good. And the Gemara in Sota, page 5, says the following. Mal mal b'sharim, God clothes the naked, gave Adam rishon clothing. Avatal b'sharimim, you have to give tzedakah, charity, and make sure other people are clothed as well. And have shelter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kacholim, Hashem visits the sick. We see HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited Avram Avinu. Avatal b'kacholim, we have to visit sick as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nechem aveilim, Hashem comforts the mourners, He comforted Avram Avinu. Avatal nechem aveilim, you have to visit the mourners as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaver mesim, Hashem buries the dead. Avatal kaver mesim, you have a message to kaver the dead, and on and on and on. So Hashem does, as it were, to illustrate to us that our souls that are made in the image of God have to do the same thing. Okay, the next part is a piece on of itself, which I'm tempted to start right now, but I'm going to save till Thursday with your permission. One second, we have a couple of minutes. Any questions, anything we discussed so far? Because we're going to move on fast. Everyone clear? Let's recap, because we did a lot today. Let's just recap today's class. We're just going to forge onwards. We spoke about how the soul and the shama are connected. We said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is like the soul. We gave five similarities. We said that we as humans have five different souls. Each soul is located at different parts, and they have different functions to help us do. Then we looked at how do we impact the soul. So we said we have to become like, we have to emulate God. How is that? We have to use our bodies, because the body influences the soul. We spoke about how the mitzvahs, the tzavta, connects us in a different way, to ourselves, to Hashem, to each other. But they are also connected to different parts of the body. So the body ends up becoming the mechanism, the kli, the vessel by which we achieve in this world what we do with our bodies, our speech. Interestingly, some of our minds, but we're not actually expected to think mitzvah. We have to do them. We'll see that next class. It's going to be a major part of next class. How thinking is not sufficient. You've got to actually do. The mitzvah is pretty much always, except for six constant mitzvot. Mitzvot to midiot, you have to actually do an action. You have to eat the matzah. You have to sit in the sukkah. You have to give the charity. You've got to speak good. You have to pray. All these things involve, but ultimately every part of the body manifests itself and ends up influencing the different parts of the soul, because the soul is about 630 parts, and the mitzvah divided 630 parts according to limbs and sinews as well. That's a quick summary. Question? They do. We're going to come to that next class. It's going to be how our thoughts are related to this, which, fascinatingly enough, are less important than our actions. Halachically as well. You can think it, but you have to actually do it. And if you do it, you can affect how you think it. That's going to be the mind-blowing part of next class. Yes?
I'm just wondering, is there a reason why it's these four for the, like, people, the naked?
Those are examples that the Gemara says from the Torah. The
Pesukim. So
those are the ones we see. Baruch Hu Mitzvah B'tapal Avram Avinu. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Those seem to be the big ones, though. Maybe every other mitzvah is encapsulated inside those four. I'm not sure. Right. From life to death. Okay, fantastic. We'll pick you all up, God willing, on Thursday. Please be on time.